Hi all, and welcome back to the All Things Football podcast. So it's a different one for us today, as we're actually recording on a Saturday evening rather than a Sunday. A chance for us, though, as ever, to round up what is happening across the leagues. In particular this weekend, it's League One, League Two, along with the non-league. That's paved the way on a domestic front anyway. So the internationals are back with some friendlies and World Cup qualifiers. However, on the domestic front, it all started last night at Prenton Park as Tranmere and Colchester kicked the weekend off in League Two. There was a tasty fixture early doors today as Forest Green Rovers and Swindon Town met in the top of the table clash. And as mentioned, plenty of international football as well. And finally, Newcastle United are now under new ownership to kickstart a brand new era for that club. Daniel, let's bring you in. How are we today, my friend?
I'm doing good. A bit weird doing it here. Our recording on a Saturday night rather than a Sunday.
It's throwing me off a little bit.
A little bit, yeah. I don't know. I feel a bit more fresh faced today because we usually do it in the morning, don't we?
And yeah, so we've been through the day. We're awake and firing to go, aren't we?
That's it, yeah. And the only reason we're doing it is because obviously our schedule tomorrow stops us from being able to record at any point. So, plus, we're big boxing fans as well, aren't we? So we've got a nice, fresh early start.
We need a lion tomorrow. We're in our early 30s now. And obviously, we've got to see how Fury gets on against Wilder. So, yeah.
That's it, yeah. But other than that, it's been a strange day because, you know what, it's been actually quite nice just seeing the lower leagues and how the lower leagues have been getting on. And if anything, that probably kicks us off quite nicely. So, in a moment, when we come back, it will be EFL League One.
So, Dan, League One, how has it been this weekend?
I'd like to say it was a full fanfare, really, of results, but only the four games happened today in League One. And that's simply because it is international weekend and there are some clubs that do have players going off to their international sides. But in terms of results today, the table does look a little bit different. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, where should we start? Where should we start with the four games that we had today?
Let's start with Ipswich Town, I reckon.
Ipswich Town. So I think that was finally a win, another win for Ipswich Town, which is always a good thing. So it was Ipswich Town 2, Shrewsbury Town 1. So that what does that do? Leave Shrewsbury, you're still second bottom in the table. Yep. But Ipswich, they should be at least mid-table.
They are 14th now, actually, yeah. So another much-needed win. Ipswich currently got a record now, 11 played, 3 wins, 4 and draw, 4 lost. Paul Cook seems that he's getting there with the team now, doesn't it, a little bit?
It does, yeah. And I think they've lost the last game in the league, but that's two. That's two wins on the bounce if you count the EFL trophy that they've won in the week against Gillingham. But it early doors today, it looked a bit like a draw might be happening. It might be on the cards because they took quite an early lead, Ipswich, today. Shrewsbury hit back.
Yeah, that's
quite,
right.
Quite quick.
Correct. And then so Chaplin, I think it was Chaplin with the first goal in the 23rd minute. Shrewsbury pulled back literally 5 minutes later, like Dan mentioned. And then early-ish second half, 54th minute, Bond got the winner for Ipswich Town. 2-1
and that's
victory.
It. And you know what? That's probably a really good result for Ipswich today. They've got to be beating sides like this. As we've seen, Shrewsbury, they've struggled at the bottom of the league so far this season. But yeah, great win for Paul Cook. Great win for Ipswich Town. That leaves you now in 14th position. And as a result, hopefully, that takes you on to the next game against Cambridge United. And again, I think we've said Cambridge have done quite well this season. So let's see how you get on next Saturday against Cambridge and Shrewsbury. You go to MK Dons. Ouch. And that's going to be another tough fixture for Shrewsbury Town. That one. Let's go down south. Let's go to Devon and Plymouth.
Plymouth Argyle. So, Plymouth Argyle 2, Burton Albion 1. Plymouth still riding high.
They are indeed. And I think
well this season.
I'm just going to throw this out there. I know there's only, four games today. But Plymouth Argyle fans, you are top of the table. You're top of the table this evening. Hopefully you're celebrating, because I would be. Yeah. But they're doing really well. They're doing really well at the minute under Ryan Lowe.
It's been a long time coming for Plymouth Argyle. It's looking very good this season so far. It's been a long time since you've had something to really, you know, be proud of the club compared to like past history. So it's you must be happy being top of the league now.
Absolutely. And I think for anything, Plymouth Argyle fans, I think, you know what, it'll be a position where they'll be happy in League One, but because they'll know and the fan base will know that, you know what, there's some really tough teams in this league this season. Mm-hmm. However, you've got to take advantage of these weekends when no one else is playing, because you've got to keep that pressure on, and they've certainly done that today.
Oh, absolutely.
You got underway nice and early, 15 minutes in, Grant with the goal. They went 2-0 up with Broome, and then Burton did get that consolation goal a little bit towards the end. Plymouth 2, Burton Albion 1. Where does that leave Burton now in the table?
Burton Albion, you are 10th in the league.
10th of the league, still not too bad. What's that? What's in terms of results wise? You drew the last game 1-1 with Wimbledon. But yeah, that loss, I don't think that loss will do any harm. Plymouth are a great side this season.
I mean, literally, it is mid-table form. So played 12, won 4, drawn 4, lost 4, mid-table form. Burton are doing okay, quite steady.
And that's it. And in terms of Plymouth Argyle, they're 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games unbeaten. Seven games unbeaten. And I always think back. I always think back to when this run started back in September, and they beat Sheffield Wednesday 3-0 at home. And
that was a big win, yeah.
And to me, that was a massive win, especially from where they were last season, Plymouth Argyle. And obviously Wednesday, they were in the Championship last season.
Exactly. Having playing against the Championship team, Sheffield Wednesday, you know, been relegated, it's always a fixture that lower teams want to get that win, don't they? And Plymouth
definitely
did that and then some.
Absolutely, yeah, and I completely agree. And you know what, Plymouth Argyle fans, we're really going to see how well you do in the next two games in League One. You've got Oxford United next away, and then you've got Bolton at home. So it's going to be really interesting to see how you get on in the next two games to see. Yeah, obviously teams around you have got some games in hand now, but
yeah,
keep pressure on.
That's it. Keep the pressure on Plymouth. I mean, we all know that Wigan and Sunderland are there. The early season favourites, let's say, two games in hand. Just keep winning, keep plugging out the results, and see how we go. It's going to be. It could make for a really tasty League One table come the end of the season.
Definitely, and as the title of this show suggests today, focused. And all I've got to do is keep focused, keep the pressure on, and just see how you go on. Just ride that train on how you're doing. There was another fixture, another old-fashioned Premier League fixture played in League One today. And I was quite surprised, actually, that this wasn't maybe postponed or abandoned due to international calls.
Maybe a few internationals, possibly.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. When it was spent, no disrespect to the other side, especially like when you look at Accrington and Fleetwood, that was called off for internationals and things like that. But Sheffield Wednesday and Bolton Wanderers, you did play in the third tier of English football today. An old Premier League classic game there. How did that get on, AE?
So, Sheffield Wednesday 1, Bolton Wanderers 0. Lee Gregory actually scored the only goal of the game to give Sheffield Wednesday a victory over Bolton, which, as Dan mentioned, was a previous Premier League fixture in years gone by.
Definitely, and I think for Sheffield Wednesday, that's a result
now,
that was needed.
I'm just thinking, Dan, Sheffield Wednesday and Bolton, I don't think they met each other in the 2000s when Bolton came back up under Allardyce, but I'm pretty sure they met, I reckon, 95, 96 season. I reckon was the last time they met in the Premier League, off the top of my head.
It's got to have been.
That's what I'm thinking.
It's surely have got to have been.
Because I think Sheffield Wednesday, did they get... this is, again, off the top of my head. I think they left the Premier League early 2000s, and that's when, obviously, Bolton were in the Prem. I'll have a look at this in the meantime, actually, just to see when they...
I was just going
to
say, yeah, I've pulled up the archive for the Premier League. But in terms of Bolton, that result, what does that result do to you? It still leaves you in eighth position. Sheffield Wednesday, that climbs you up to ninth. And like AD said, Gregory got on the score sheet. It sounded like a bit of a dull affair until the hour mark and that goal came through. But there was a fair few chances from the reports today for Bolton that you should really capitalise on those opportunities to either get the draw or actually, in fact, win that game as well. But yeah, Sheffield Wednesday...
found the Sheffield Wednesday relegation from the Premier League. It was the end of the 1999-2000 season, so it's literally been 21 years since Sheffield Wednesday were in the Premier League.
There you go. Yeah, massive. So
Feels like it does feel like a long time.
And they met
that
season. Is that correct? They would have met that season.
That's another good question. Let's have a look. I know that Bolton did get relegated in the late 90s and came back up under Allardyce, but did they cross past that season? Let's have a look. Premier League.
But anyway, Bolton Wanderer fans. Wanderer fans, you are still eighth. Sheffield Wednesday fans, you are in ninth. Another good result, I think, for Sheffield Wednesday. Again, you're just plugging away, aren't you? You're plugging away at that league. I'm just getting up there.
This is unbelievable. They literally missed. They didn't cross paths. So, like I mentioned, Sheffield Wednesday got relegated in 99-2000 season.
Yep.
Bolton were promoted back to the Premier League at the end of the 2000-2001 season.
It's actually, you're absolutely bang on. They've never met in the Premier League.
They've just missed, not crossed paths, but they have been well-established Premier League clubs in years.
Both of them, yeah, definitely, yeah. I always think back to that season when Bolton was in Europe.
JJ Okocha.
I will say, you were right. In your first instance, you were right. The 95-96 season,
they did play each other.
Yep, so 95-96, Sheffield Wednesday played Bolton Wanderers in the Premier League. So they have met in the Premier League.
Looking
at the results, Sheffield Wednesday were pretty much on top in those two fixtures. And that rounds us up quite nicely into a team that pretty much stole the hearts of, I would say, everyone last season in the Championship. And that was Wickham Wanderers. You are second in the league this evening. Can you get that immediate return back to the EFL Championship with a 2-0 victory over Gillingham? Gillingham fans, you're in 19th. Not looking too great. It's quite funny, actually. I was watching some archive videos. and it's a TV show that I haven't watched for a very, very long time, Soccer AM, just for other reasons. But there was a video on there with Akinfenwa. You know the penalty game that they play at the end?
Yes.
He scored an absolute worldie.
I bet he's absolutely smashed it as well, I bet.
He did, yeah. But you know what? The game today, I really thought it was going to be quite a whitewash for Wickham Wanderers because it got off really early. McCleary scored in the second minute and then the seventh minute second goal then from Hanlon. But after that, it was very quiet. Yeah, it was pretty quiet after that game, after that point. Wickham Wanderers 2, Gillingham 0. Gillingham fans, my question to you. You're currently 19th in the league. In terms of the results, that's two losses on the bounce now in the league. But there's you have lost to Wigan and Wickham in that, but the results previous to that, not too bad. I think the next game, have a guess what the next game is for Gillingham.
Next game for Gillingham is going to be someone around the bottom.
No.
Is it someone in the top half of the table?
It is. It's someone that is currently fourth because of the results today, and it's Sunderland. Gillingham will play Sunderland in that next fixture, and Wickham, you will play Doncaster Rovers. So another chance to keep the pressure on those teams at the top. Yes, they've got a couple of games in hand, but a great opportunity for you just to keep that pressure at the top with Plymouth and yourselves in first and second. And other than that, that rounds up. League One. I don't know whether to do a prediction. Really, I'm still thinking.
I was going to go back to throw this back out to the Gillingham fans. So you've played 12 today, like Dan mentioned. That's two losses on the bounce in League One. However, Fleetwood Town, who are just below in 20th, have only played 10. They've got two games in hand, so it's going to be very, very tasty at the bottom. And also Charlton Crewe have got games in hand.
Doncaster, they've got two in hand.
It's going to be rough at the moment looking at it, but we'll see how the season goes.
Well, yeah, it's definitely. And in terms of that, and Steve Evans, do you change? Do you feel like it's time for a change, maybe, Gillingham fans, or do you just persevere and do you think that, you know what, we're establishing ourselves as a League One club?
And Steve Evans obviously knows the league very well, doesn't he?
He does, yeah. And he's another one of those characters within the game. You're right, AD. He knows this league inside and out. Prediction-wise, can we do a prediction, do you think, with just the four games today?
I'm still adamant it's going to be Wigan and Sunderland to go up.
Yeah.
I think their quality is just a little bit too much for certain teams within the top six at the moment. Mm-hmm. Bottom half, unfortunately, I do think Doncaster's still going down. I know they've got the two games in hand on Shrewsbury just above them. Mm-hmm. But I still think they're going down. Crew, I think they're going to struggle still. Charlton, I reckon they will actually pick themselves up. Shrewsbury Town, again, I reckon they may pick themselves up as well. And then Gillingham, I'm not sure. It's going to be tight down the bottom, to be honest. But I can definitely see Doncaster going back down.
Doncaster going down for yourself. I'm just looking at Doncaster at the minute. They've got the wind. They beat MK Dons in their last game, so they're finding a bit of form. But yeah, you're right. I think results are going to be scattered. Yeah.
The thing is that we know as well, we're obviously goal difference and things. They've conceded 12 compared to, let's say Charlton and Crewe, who've conceded minus six on their goal difference. If it comes down to goal difference on the last day of the season, that could go against them if they concede as many goals as they do at the moment, early doors.
It's interesting because a week on Tuesday, it's Gillingham versus Doncaster. So like you've just mentioned there about that two game thing, that could be a real big game in this.
That's what
stage.
Doncaster would need to really, really need to get a victory there. That would be ideal for them.
Lovely stuff. I'm going to agree with you with all those that you've just said there, to be honest. There's nothing really more for me to elaborate on for that. So yeah, I'll keep it at that. Lovely stuff. League One. It's a shame there was only four games today because
we normally have fun with League One, don't we?
There was some tasty fixtures today. It would have been MK Dons versus Wimbledon. Yeah. So there would have been some really tasty games today. Yeah. However, when we come back, we do have a full roundup of EFL League Two.
So, Dan, League Two, like you mentioned, full lineup of fixtures today. There's been a lot of goals today as well.
There has indeed, yeah. And I think you mentioned it at the start of the show. It started last night Friday. Tranmere Rovers 2, Colchester United 0. Where does that leave Tranmere?
Tranmere, you are in fifth place. So, played 11, won 5, drawn 3, lost 3. Nice start to the season so far, and you've won your last two games now, including last night as well.
That's a good in the playoffs. It's not looking good for Colchester United.
No,
they're now down into 20th. That's two league losses on the bounce now for Colchester United. But yeah, Tranmere Rovers again.
Four unbeaten in a row as well.
For Tranmere, yeah. Mm. Well, in terms of Tranmere Rovers, it's 1, 2, 3, 4. Four games unbeaten, games unbeaten in the league. You had a good draw against Forest Green Rovers a few weeks back. It was a shame, really, that it wasn't on the telly. I highly anticipated that to be on the telly last night, but it wasn't.
You would have thought so, wouldn't you, for a Friday night? Not many Friday night domestic fixtures as well.
Yeah, because the international scene wasn't that great. I did have Germany on the tablet last night. I was hoping that game would have been on the telly, seeing as Sky do like to put the games on. However, it sounded a bit of a dull affair in the first half, but Hawks and Clark were on the score sheet for Tranmere. Tranmere in fifth, Colchester in 20th. Colchester United fans, I don't think I've seen enough of you so far this season to say, yes, you will drop out. I'm still adamant of really the two, and we'll talk about those in a little bit while. Colchester United fans, how are you feeling with the where you are in the table so far? There was an early fixture which was on the telly today, and that was Forest Green Rovers and Swindon Town. How did that get on?
So the leaders, Forest Green Rovers, you slipped up today. It was a 2-0 defeat at home to Swindon Town. Bit of a slip up there, but still top by a point. Well, obviously, we'll go into the table after, but still top. Bit of a slip up. See how we go.
Again, another game that I watched dribs and drabs of it earlier. I think the first half wasn't a great spectacle. However, yeah, Swindon, they did turn it on in the second half. McCurdy and Simpson on the score sheet for them. But Swindon and Forest Green Rovers, you're both in the top three, so you both occupy those automatic spots in EFL League Two. Will you remain there at the end of the season? Too early for me to say. Yes, it's getting really tight. Yeah, it's getting really tight at the top of the league.
I'm looking at the League Two table now. It's crazy how close it is between like first place and ninth.
Yeah, overall. Definitely.
It's a matter of 6 points.
It's mental. It's mental. And in terms of anything else, I was surprised. I don't know. I had a draw for Forest Green Rovers and Swindon Town today.
Mm. It's a derby game as well, isn't it? The West Country derby.
Very much so. I don't know whether Swindon Town fans will see it that way. However, the crowd looked good. The crowd did look good.
They'd be more than happy to get an away win at Forest Green though as well.
I believe it was one of those. I don't know if you saw the Tottenham Chelsea game a couple of weeks back. It was like Sky's first carbon neutral.
Showcase.
So, and again, with Forest Green Rovers, what they do and the backing that they have from the owner, who's very, very green friendly.
Everything's green,
yeah. Yeah. So that was, again, another one of those carbon neutral fixtures today for there. So, but yeah, Forest Green 0, Swindon Town 2. Not much really to say about that. You're both in the top three.
It makes the top three interesting. That win for Swindon, definitely.
It does indeed, and I want to really talk about the team that are sandwiched in between those. Again, they only had their first season in the Football League last season. They are currently second, and that is Harrogate Town. And I've got to say, I thought this could be into double figures.
Mm.
They were 5-0 up at half time.
Yeah, mad game.
And I honestly think, for me, Harrogate Town, I want them now in League One, just under the performances and just under the togetherness that Simon Weaver has brought together. And Simon Weaver has been at that club for so many years. It's unreal. And he's helped them establish themselves, brought them up through the leagues.
Yep.
And this is kind of, I don't know about you, but I feel like Harrogate Town's story so far and how they're getting on should be Salford.
But this is the thing.
See what I mean?
I remember when Worcester City were in the Conference North, which, if people don't know, is just below the National League, the top non-league division. And we actually beat Harrogate Town back in 2012, 2013, when they were sort of a mid-table Conference North team. And to see how far they've come now is fantastic. And the fact they've actually stuck with their manager, he's turned everything around, you know, grown the club. They've not done like a complete Salford and money's been pumped into the club. It's been a sort of more natural process.
But that's the difference, isn't it?
It's
the
great.
Difference is,
great. I love to see that.
We ramp on about it every week with Salford and the money, but they're not doing anything. They're
not
doing
this season.
Anything
no.
of excitement. Where I'm looking at a team that have only just come up to the Football League for the first time in their history, mm-hmm. because they've spent the whole of their life in non-league football.
Absolutely.
And I just like Simon Weaver. I really do like Simon Weaver as a manager. And I Harrogate Town fans, I do hope this can continue for you and you do make your way to EFL League One next season. And just prove, just having that togetherness and just having a little bit about you can really do well. But a 6-1 victory today.
6-1 victory. Goals, let's go. Some of the goals that were scored. Jack Muldoon scored twice in the 8th and the 45th minute.
Patson got a brace.
As well. Diamond as well. Orsi scored a penalty in the 83rd minute. And it was a record crowd for Harrogate as well. 3,180. And what a game to see.
I would say, I'd like to say that's a bit of a derby.
Mm.
They may not be in the same county, but yeah, a bit of a derby. I think Scunthorpe travelled well in terms of their numbers that went there. But yeah, Scunthorpe United, you're bottom of the league. What's not working? Again, we're starting to embrace the lower leagues, and mine and AD's knowledge is becoming as best as it can week on week.
We're picking up on lower league clubs now, aren't we?
We are indeed, and we're enjoying it. But
Scunthorpe, honestly.
Tell us what is going wrong, and AD will tell you at the end of the show how to contact us in regards to that. But yeah, I'm really interested to see what's going wrong down at Scunthorpe United. So that gets that game out of the way. I'm getting confused with the games now. Let's go to another team that's not their first time, but they've spent many years away from the Football League, and that was Barrow. How did that game go? Was it Leighton Orient?
So yeah, the Barrow game finished Barrow 1, Leighton Orient 1. Barrow scored in the 48th minute, got with the first goal, and then Leighton Orient got the reply in the second half. It was Beckles who got the 69th minute equaliser. Yeah, so it finished 1-1 at Barrow.
1-1 at Barrow, which is fantastic. Again, we'll come on to it in a little bit of time, but Barrow, where does that leave Barrow now on the table? Is it still in the top half?
Barrow. Yes, just if we're gonna, 11th place, so just 11th above mid table.
Still in the top half. That's, you know, it's incredible, incredible achievement. Brilliant. Especially if we do put that Salford, that stereotypical Salford, and they should be doing this and they should be doing that. But you know what? Money doesn't always guarantee.
Doesn't
success.
Always work out, does it?
It doesn't, and. No. We'll come on to Salford a little bit later on. However, Barrow 1, Leyton Orient 1, that leaves Leyton Orient. You are still 6th in the table. We'll come to the table a little bit later on. But yeah, great result for Barrow. I have heard that Mark Cooper for Barrow, the Barrow manager currently, he is one of the favourites to take over at Newport County. I haven't really heard anything more.
That'll be interesting. No, I haven't for a while, actually. No, just, it's gone quiet recently, hasn't it?
It has, since the manager win. But yeah, I'm still not seeing... caretaker gaffer, Wayne Hatswell, he's still in charge. There's still no permanent manager taken over, but Mark Cooper's name I heard during the week as one of the candidates to take over.
We'll keep tabs on that, yeah.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. There's not been many managerial changes so far this season. But
Not really, not in terms of like seasons gone by. It's been pretty steady, hasn't it, so far?
Yeah, I think I've... surprised first when I found out that Kenny Jackett was still in football and he's at Leyton at the moment. Yeah,
so, I completely. He's doing not. It's good. It's good to see Leyton Orient doing well, actually, to be honest, because they've had a rough few years as well.
Now, do I wonder? I haven't seen it this season, but I wonder. I know Harry Kane's got a really big thing with Leyton Orient. I know they was one of his loan clubs in the early days. I think he sponsored the shirt last season. I don't know whether he's
I believe
doing the
he did.
Again.
I think you're right. Actually, I think during last season. He did actually. I do recall seeing that.
Really great. Sorry, I'm being distracted by football scores. International, we've got an international game. Azerbaijan 0, Republic of Ireland 3. Ogbene has just scored for Republic of Ireland there.
Going back to the Harry Kane Leyton Orient sponsorship, he actually sponsored Leyton Orient shirts last year to support various different causes, free charities. So basically, it was. The home shirt had the message of thanks to the frontline workers who tackled the coronavirus pandemic last year when it came about. Mental health charity Mind and the Haven House Children's Hospice had their logos on the Orient's two other shirts as part of the deal. And basically, he did it because he was literally born around that area. So he wanted to give back to the club. And because they gave him his first professional start. So
Some really fantastic charities there. I think one in particular for me was Mind.
Yeah.
If people that aren't too clued up on the Football League, if you look at the back of the shirts, the name and numbers in the Football League, Mind, the Mind logo is actually embedded within the font on the back of the shirts. But it's a great charity. Coronavirus last year was a very tough thing for everyone, and I reached out to Mind last year just to get a bit of help myself, and you know what, they're great, a really great charity. So if you are struggling, speak to Mind. They're a fantastic organization, and they are on hand to help if you
absolutely
do need
ditto.
Some help, which is fantastic. Back to League One. Joey Barton finally gets a win.
Great win for Bristol Rovers. Yeah, it finished Bristol Rovers 3, Carlisle United 0. We had goals from Anthony Evans, Sam Nicholson and Harvey Saunders. Got a 94th minute winner. But yeah, it was 1-0 at half time and they continued to win 3-0 in the second half. Fantastic.
Great response. Yeah, great response after the loss to Swindon Town last week. Bristol Rovers 3-0. You're climbing up now. In the table, so up to 16th, Bristol Rovers. Carlisle, you are in 22nd. Sorry to interrupt again, but we do have a goal has just come through. Scotland 3, Israel 2, McTominay in the 94th minute for Scotland. So hope that looks like Scotland will be getting the 3 points. I'm just watching Steve Clark now.
Hopefully they'll hold that out then. Cracking
they will do indeed. Apologies. But Bristol Rovers, fantastic win. A little bit of pressure off Joey Barton. I was actually speaking to someone in the week in regards to this, and I was quite interested to see where Michael Flynn would end up, the ex-Newport County manager who stood down last week. And I did mention maybe Bristol Rovers could be a destination for him.
What was his response?
Very neutral, I would say. Yeah, it didn't really occur. It didn't really click that it could be a destination. But yeah, Bristol Rovers, in my eyes, is definitely a step up in terms of the facilities and things like that. So yeah, we'll keep an eye out on that. And obviously, but at the moment, Joe Barton is still manager of Bristol Rovers, 3-0 win, and that's going to definitely help the cause.
Absolutely.
On that one, Carlisle United, you are now third bottom. And I always go back to the day when Carlisle was languishing at the bottom of League Two year on year. And I will always remember, like most, and if you don't know, when Jimmy Glass came up and scored a header. So Jimmy Glass was
the goalkeeper, wasn't he?
That's right, yeah. And he scored the winner for Carlisle that actually kept him in the Football League.
I remember they were in massive trouble then as well, weren't they?
They were indeed.
Finances, everything.
Massively, yeah. But I always see Carlisle at the bottom of the league, and I always think of that Jimmy Glass moment. So I've got no doubts, Carlisle, that spirit is still in the air, and you'll get yourselves out of that one. So another team that came back this season, and that was Hartlepool United. The Monkey Hangers, Jeff Stelling's boys. How did they get on?
So Hartlepool United 2, Northampton Town 1. So it started with 51st. It was a 0-0 at half time. Second half, it got going pretty quick. 51st minute, Hoskins for Northampton Town to make it 1-0. Ferguson came back for Hartlepool United 2 minutes after, 53rd minute, to make it 1-1. And then Molyneux got the 83rd minute winner for Hartlepool United, so it finished 2-1. And that extends their impressive unbeaten home record as well with that comeback victory.
Great stuff, yeah. So that's what... that win was a much needed one. It's a season for Hartlepool United where they're getting some scattered results, win, losses and draws here, there and everywhere. But for Northampton, I'm a bit surprised at Northampton, 14th in the league currently. I thought Northampton would do, they'd be pretty much up there.
You would have thought so, wouldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. In terms of, and again, what's that?
To be honest, looking at the table, looking at 14th, 15 points. They're only 2 points behind 7th, which is the last playoff place.
Agreed. Yeah, but I think Northampton fans will be thinking that's two losses on the bounce now. And both to teams that have just come up to back to the Football League, which is Sutton United and Hartlepool United. So they'll be looking at that. But they've got two games. They've got two games next, which in my eyes, looking at the table, they are very winnable games for them. Mansfield Town, just in particular where they are in the table, and Stevenage as well. Wow. Talking of Mansfield Town, there was a very, very tasty affair. Well, I was hoping it would be a tasty affair because it was a
on paper,
of the table
it would have
clash.
Been nice to see it, wouldn't it? But it finished Mansfield Town 0, Oldham Athletic 0. All it says in the report, to be honest, it just says a miserable afternoon for Mansfield held them to a goalless draw, home to fellow strugglers Oldham, and they lost their midfielder George Maris to a serious head injury. You don't like to hear that as well.
No, definitely not.
So, a clash of heads. There was a 13-minute hold-up because he had to be carried off on a stretcher and obviously checked out with the head injury there. Finished a 0-0 draw. So it doesn't really do any favours for either team, really.
It doesn't, but I think for Oldham Athletic, it's not a loss. So it's another point
towards
gain.
Them, it's a point gained, I'd say.
Yeah, it's another point gain for Oldham Athletic, but that does still leave you in the bottom two of League One, and Mansfield, you are in 21st. We might as well keep the 0-0s coming. What was the next 0-0?
Next 0-0, Newport County 0, Bradford City 0. Was there anything of note in that game? Oh, Bradford City hit the woodwork. Entertaining game, actually, it's saying, at Rodney Parade. Plenty of possession from Newport in the first half. Mickey Demitral was denied by an O'Donnell fantastic save from Bradford.
I'd agree. I'd agree. Looking at the looking at the stats for the game, there was plenty of shots.
Plenty.
Many that were on target, mind, but it was very end to end.
I mean, both teams, to be honest. I mean, 15 shots from Newport, 9 from Bradford. Not a lot on target, but there was chances. They just didn't take them, and it finished 0-0.
And there we go. And Newport County, that leaves you in 13th, and Bradford, that leaves you in 12th.
So yeah,
let's go to Rochdale.
Rochdale, they were at home to Crawley Town. It finished Rochdale 0, Crawley Town 1. Apaya with the winner in the 14th minute in the first half. And that win moves Crawley on the brink of the playoffs in League 2 with that victory there.
You've got to read that report to me. Is there any statement from John Yems?
Did John Yems have anything to say? Doesn't look like he did today. We know he normally comes out.
How surprising is that?
Isn't he?
Yeah, how surprising is that?
He likes a sarcastic comment for the media, doesn't he? Normally,
he does indeed. There's got to be some form of comment. I'll have a look
on the official. I'll go on their website.
There's nothing. There's absolutely nothing. No, really? There's absolutely nothing from him. Which is probably how he likes it.
That's the biggest surprise of the game, I think.
I've got 3 points. That does mean what I need. But yeah, Rochdale 0, Crawley 1.
Yep.
Let's go to Bedfordshire, Stevenage.
Stevenage. It was Stevenage 2, Exeter City 2. Four goals in that game. So it started in the 10th minute, 1-0 to Exeter through Nombe. List got the goal back for Stevenage to make it 1-1 in the 23rd minute. Then in the second half, Jay scored in the 50th minute for Exeter to make it 2-1. And then Stevenage came back 9 minutes later in the 59th minute through List with his second goal. Entertaining draw, finished 2 apiece.
Very good.
A lot of shots in that game as well.
Sound lucky, yeah. I was reading the stats. 14 for Exeter. Yeah, from the game. But where does that leave Stevenage? Stevenage are in 15th.
Yep, 15th place.
And Exeter, you're just outside the playoffs in 10th. Mm. So yeah, another great game there. By the sounds of it, I'm going to leave for me what was the game of the day. But let's go to the best goal. Let's go to one of our West Midlands clubs. And let's see how Gary Bowyer and his Salford team.
Unfortunately, he's not had another good week, really, for Salford. It finished Walsall 2, Salford City 1. So Phillips got the goal in the first minute for Walsall. Then Salford pulled back in the second half to make it 1-0, 78th minute through Eastham. In the 95th minute, Connor Wilkinson came off the bench to get the stoppage time winner. So Walsall got the 2-1 victory there to ease their worries from the relegation zone. Great win for Walsall.
Where does that leave the Saddlers?
Saddlers, they are currently in 19th place, 12 points. Salford, you are in 17th place. So Walsall, joint points now with Salford, both on 12 points.
Very good. Yeah, great result for Walsall. Another loss for Salford. You're at the wrong end of the table.
We both know the pressure is going to be mounting on Bowie now.
It's got to. And I think you look at the class of 92 and the other owner that's a part of Salford now, and they've got to be looking at Harrogate and Sutton and Barrow, teams that have come up. And go, what's going on wrong? We haven't got the answer. Salford City fans, let us know what the answer is. Is it Gary Barrier, or is it just the team in general itself? But let's move on to what was, in my eyes, the game of the day. I managed to catch this on a radio. I managed to search the net and get a radio coverage of this one. It was absolutely...
Was it like a local radio station?
Local radio station, yeah. And it was Sutton United and Port Vale, which... Now it looks like a very top of the table clash. Port Vale, it leaves you in fourth, in the table. But Sutton United, you are in the playoffs. So you're now in the playoffs in there, and you ran out today winners 4-3. So Sutton United 4, Port Vale 3. And it was an absolute...
Sounded like a cracker of a game.
It was a wicked listen to, I've got to say, AD. Port Vale went 2-0 up. 2-1 then. So that was Smith and Proctor with the goals for Port Vale. Milsom got one back, and then Garrity own goal pulled it to 2-2. And then I've got to say the last 12 minutes of the game incredible. So Conlon scored in the 78th minute to put Port Vale back in the lead. Randall, with 3 minutes to go, made it 3-3. And then Rowe in the 91st minute, so in stoppage time, got that win. And I've got to say, I don't know what the crowd was. I'm just going to look, actually. So there was nearly 4,000 there today, which I've got to say is a very high number.
It is for League Two. Fantastic.
For League Two, which is fantastic. But there was a roar. There was definitely a roar at the ground when that goal went in. And you've got to say, the Knights Community Stadium, you've got to be happy tonight because you are in those playoff spots. In seventh position. So that rounds up in terms of the thing. The one thing I want to mention, and it's something that we didn't mention last week. So I don't know if you remember, but Bristol Rovers played Swindon last week.
Yes.
And it was quite funny. And again, one of the conversations I was having in the week, so people that weren't aware, and I don't know if you're aware, AD, but obviously Ben Garner, he's now the Swindon Town manager.
Right.
And he was sacked by Bristol Rovers in November.
Okay.
When Joey Barton took over, he gave a bit of criticism to
Oh, did Joey Barton open his mouth, did he?
Yeah, to Ben Garner saying that he, yeah. when he rocked up at Bristol Rovers, it was the whole team was poor, the squad was poor, whatever he'd done, he'd left them in a really, really bad place. And you know what Joey Barton's like. But however, yeah, Swindon Town ran out winners, didn't they? So Ben Garner's the one sitting here laughing today because they're third in the league and he's doing really well at Swindon Town. There's a lot of there's a really lot of people that do that like Ben Garner as a person, and
so they're going to see why. Get behind him, aren't they?
They are. Absolutely. They're naturally getting behind him, and you know what? He didn't really have to do anything, did he? When he beat Joey Barton, his Bristol Rovers team. But yeah, in terms of the table, I just wanted to quickly mention that one. And fair play to Ben Garner and what he's doing at Swindon Town. Joey Barton, concentrate on your team. That's all I'm going
to
say.
Yeah, just get Bristol Rovers moving. That's what he needs to concentrate on, really.
Prediction wise, mate, for the table, the only one that I can really hand on say that I think will be in EFL League One next season is Harrogate, and I'm going to say that now.
To be honest, I'm sort of swaying that way, the way they're performing recently, and I mean after today's result especially. I still think it's going to be between them and Forest Green. It's going to be that top three is going to be tight, but I think them two could possibly.
I don't know about Forest Green. I think they've been trying for season after season now, and I don't know whether they'll start slipping away at some point. Swindon Town, I think they will be there. I think
in the round.
Yeah, and again, I think I said last week as well. At the moment, I'm looking at the table thinking Harrogate Town, Swindon Town, and Sutton United are my top three.
Yeah, I mean, as much as I would love to see it happen, I don't know if Sutton United will be able to keep up the playoff push. But it'd be fantastic to see if they did.
In terms of the bottom, I don't know. A little part of me thinks Scunthorpe can still get out of it. Part of me still thinks Oldham can get out of it, but it's not.
Oldham seem to be
just making little results,
aren't they?
Yeah, little waves. But I don't know. Mansfield, I'm struggling at the minute with yourselves. Yeah. I don't know whether you can get out of there. So yeah, in terms of the table, then I'll do the top half. Sorry, we didn't do it for League One. I just thought there wasn't really much point with only four games today. Mm-hmm. But as we had a full fixture list in League Two.
Obviously, we did mention the change that Plymouth were top of the league.
And we did, mention it as we go along in terms of that. But in terms of the table then, for Forest Green Rovers, Harrogate Town and Swindon Town, they make up the top three positions. Port Vale, Tranmere, Leighton Orient and Sutton United, you are in the playoffs. Hartlepool United, Crawley, Exeter, Barrow and Bradford City make up the top half of EFL League Two.
Oh, in the bottom half, in 13th, we've got Newport County, followed by Northampton Town, Stevenage, Bristol Rovers, Salford City, Rochdale, Walsall, Colchester United, Mansfield Town and Carlisle United in 22nd. The bottom two teams in the relegation places are Oldham Athletic and Scunthorpe United.
Lovely stuff. When we come back, it's my favourite time of the week and it's AD's Strange Football in Fact.
So, Dan, I think it's time for my strange footballing fact of the week, don't you?
I think so. Over to you.
So, Chelsea Football Club are the only team to be holders of the Europa League and the Champions League at the same time. In 2012, the Blues won their first Champions League. The following season, when Rafa Benitez took interim charge, he won the Europa League on the 15th of May. Now, given that the Champions League final was due on the 25th of May, for 10 days only, Chelsea were actually holders of both titles. It's a weird fact. Very weird.
Yeah, so for 10 days, Chelsea held
They were officially holders in the same season of the Europa League and the Champions League at the same time.
That's
10
mad.
Days.
Did they win the... Did they win the Super Cup as well, do we know?
Good question. I don't know how they did. Let's have a look. 2012, 2013. We'll have a little quick search, actually, see how that went.
That'd be an interesting
Super
one.
Super Cup final. That was a... What's it saying? Oh, it tells me it was 2-2 after extra time. It doesn't tell me the penalty results, which doesn't really help. Let's have a look. Oh no, Bayern won 5-4 on penalties. So unfortunately, no, they didn't have the treble there. No.
No, that'd have been interesting. Yeah, I'm just looking. Yeah, they won the Super Cup in League. Yeah, I'm just looking now. They won the Super Cup in 98 and 2000 and this year, actually, they won the Super Cup. But yeah, that's mad. 10 days, they were the Champions League and Europa League finalists. Mental. Could it happen again? Chelsea fans, could you win the Champions League this season? Let us know if you will win that European competition this season. Lovely stuff. There's nothing more to say. I think, I'm looking forward to the full roundup of domestic football coming back next weekend with the Premier League and the Championship returning as well. But superb again. Another great fact. That's mad. Yeah, 10 days. Both Champions League and Europa League winners in the same season.
Absolutely. What a lovely 10 days. Perfect.
Well, yeah, definitely. Especially for Chelsea fans. I'll always remember that Didier Drogba header. I'll always remember that one. But the scenes were great. Superb. Thanks, AD. When we come back, it's time for Non-League.
So, Dan, non-league, what has happened this weekend?
So today was a really good day. And it's if for people that don't know, when the international breaks on and there's no Championship or Premier League games, it's known as non-league day. So it's an opportunity for season ticket holders or fans in general of those teams in those leagues to head down to their nearest non-league club to enhance non-league, a bit more money driven into the community and things like that. I would have done the same today. I would have done the same today if Dunedin Borough weren't playing away. We'll come on to those a little bit later. But for the non-league roundup, we'll do exactly the same as what we do. We'll just focus on the top end of the table in terms of that. We do have access to all the results, but I just think it's easier if we just keep the momentum going in regards to what we've been doing on a week-by-week basis for these leagues. And in terms of the table, Grimsby Town, you are top of the table, and today you beat Woking. That was a good win, actually, I think. Yeah, because wasn't last week where Woking beat Notts County?
They did
in the league. Yeah, that 4-1 victory, weren't it? So yeah, Grimsby Town. So it was Woking nil, Grimsby Town 1. Boreham Woods. I tried to have this on in the background as well. There was too much going on, mate. I was trying to have the football going on, and then I had something else going on, and then Boreham Wood and Dagenham and Redbridge were actually live on BT Sport today. And
one of their non-league games,
I've got to say, Boreham Wood, you are second, and you beat Dagenham and Redbridge 2-0, and quite convincingly as well. From what I did see and read in that
just
one.
From the outset, looking at National League, they and Bromley are the ones I'm really keeping an eye on, you know, in that.
I was just about to say exactly the same. And the more so I say for Bromley, we'll come on to Bromley in a little bit, but Bromley, you do have two games in hand on everyone else above you. If we go down, Boreham Wood 2, Dagenham and Redbridge 0.
Bromley on 9 games,
FC Halifax Town, you are in third. And today you beat Weymouth 2-0. So 2-0 victory there for Halifax Town, 2-0 over Weymouth. Chesterfield, I'll leave that one over to you, mate. How did Chesterfield get on today?
Yeah, so Chesterfield were away at Southend United. We've obviously touched on Southend United, the fact they're having a big struggle this season as well. Chesterfield actually came out 4-0 winners away at Southend United. So they are in fourth place. That's two games unbeaten now. Yep.
It's a fixture. It's a Football League fixture, isn't it? It's a Football League fixture.
To be honest, I think you can go far back. Like when Chesterfield were actually in League One a few years back, I think I'm pretty sure Southend United were in League One at the same time.
Absolutely. Bang on. And it was weird today because it was coming through and you could see it coming through on the ticker on the score channels today.
And you just think, league game.
That's a league game. And it's not. It's a National League game. And quite convincing with Chesterfield. Southend United, you are still struggling.
You're no longer in 20th place.
Yeah, you're no longer in the relegation zone, but you are you're wrong half of the table in my eyes.
Definitely.
But what a great win for Chesterfield, a 4-0 one. And let's move on to Bromley.
Yeah.
And you took the words out of my mouth, because when I looked at the table earlier and I saw these results, we haven't really mentioned Bromley.
No.
Over the last couple of weeks. And Bromley, you were in fifth. You've got two games in hand. And I've got to say, a 2-0 victory over Torquay United
That's especially nothing to, we know Torquay's record between League Two and non-league, this sort of, you know.
Yeah.
But that's a great win.
We've got to say that we're keeping an eye on you, definitely. What's that, 19?
I tell you what, as well, their form, that's five wins on the bounce as well.
I was just about exactly that, and I'm just looking at the teams. You beat Torquay today, Weymouth last week, Grimsby the week before, Dover and Barnet.
Cracking.
Got Aldershot next, then it's Notts County, Halifax Town, and then Woking. So there's some, and Stockport County. So tell you what, the next sort of like five, six games are going to really, really see what Bromley can do in that top half of the table.
And as you mentioned, there, two games in hand as well on the teams.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Which is great. It's always a great thing to have those games in hand as well. But yeah, Bromley fans, let us know in regards to how will you fare? How do you think you'll get on? Can you gain promotion to the Football League? I think it'll be a great achievement, especially with the likes of what we've said, like Sutton United and Harrogate doing so well. Yeah, it would be great to see them.
It's always nice to see a fresh new team, isn't it, in the league?
Completely
agree,
and we're very, very one for the underdog on this show. And Boreham Wood and Bromley would be an absolutely fantastic addition to the Football League. Dagenham Redbridge, we've mentioned you are in sixth, and then another West Midlands club, which I'm really proud to again to see in those playoffs and pushing for promotion, is another team that I definitely would like to see in the Football League, and that is Solihull Moors. And you got a 1-0 victory today over Kingsland Town, which is another fantastic result, and it does put you in those playoff spots. So in terms of in terms of the National League, that's the top half, and in terms of the bottom half, bottom three, I'll just mention the bottom three, Weymouth, Aldershot Town and Dover Athletic.
I do feel sorry for Dover fans. Really tough season. Really tough season as well. They've not picked up a win all season after 11 games and the deduction as well. It's just
And I'm looking actually, they've got the three points that they have gained this season have come against Chesterfield, Weymouth and Solihull Moors. So there's two teams in there, Chesterfield and Solihull. That is really good result there as well. But yeah, National League, that's the National League for you. On to the North. So we do have new league leaders in the National North, and that is Brackley Town. And they, how did they get on today? They beat Kidderminster Harriers today, 2-0.
Yep, that's a fantastic win for Brackley. I mean, to be fair, in recent years, Kiddy, you do think of them as, back in the day, definitely a main league team.
People,
They've struggled in recent years.
Not even definitely. That. I remember Kidderminster Harriers being in the Football League.
They were in the Football League. Yeah, of course they were. Yeah.
They were, I remember Kidderminster.
So they've had a bit of a fall.
They have indeed.
Definitely struggled in the North in recent years as well.
Yeah, they've been down there for a while now. Yeah, a fair while they've been down there. It's a nice little ground as well, Kidderminster.
It is.
Been there a couple of times.
I go past on the train quite often.
When you're off to work. That's correct, yeah.
That's it.
In second place, we've got AFC Fylde. So AFC Fylde is still there with a 1-1 draw today over Alfreton Town. Spaymore, you are in third position and you picked up a 1-0 victory today over AFC Telford. Gateshead, how did Gateshead do?
Gateshead, 3-1 win over Boston United.
That's a great result. Great result for Gateshead. Yeah, Boston United. I saw pictures today of Boston United's new ground. It's always nice. I do like when new grounds are built. Although they're all looking the same now, to be honest, all these new grounds, especially in the lower leagues. They're all built from the same cloth. But it's like the same Lego set. We another conversation I had in the week about new stadiums. Like, we were talking about the King Power, the Rico, Pride Park. They're all very, very similar.
Same formula, isn't there? Thinking about it.
They're very similar. Very similar. And then I look at someone like Brentford's new ground and it's completely different, which is always great to see on that one. But back to National League North. Curzon Ashton. How did the Curzon? Oh, 2-0 loss today. 2-0 loss today to Farsley Celtic. Chorley. Good old Chorley. Every time I hear Chorley, I always think of Max and Paddy when I hear Chorley. But yeah, 2-0 victory today for Chorley over Blyth Spartans. And then we've already mentioned Alfreton Town. I know you've got a bit of a link to one club in this league. How did Leamington get on?
Leamington Spa, my place of birth. 2-0 defeat to Guiseley. Not really a lot I can say there. I mean, Leamington haven't really ever been up in the sort of higher midst of the North League, to be honest. But, 12th place, mid-table. Can't really say a lot more on that, then, to be honest.
12th, yeah, I completely agree. And you know,
one of them sort of, they are a sort of lower league, sort of mid-table team in that league, to be honest. They always have been for a while. So
correct.
If they're in, they're in the position you expect them to be in, really.
There you go. Yep. So Guiseley 2, Leamington 0. In regards to people, if you are interested, only two go down this season, and it's currently AFC Telford United and Southport that occupy the two relegation zones places in National League North. Over to the south.
Oi.
Dartford. So Dartford are leading the way. A good 1-0 victory today over Hungerford. Mm-hmm. Maidstone United, 2-0 loss. 2-0 loss to Eastbourne Borough today. For Maidstone United, again another club that built the stadium back in Maidstone after so many years away. The big ambitions, that club, but they seem to be languishing a little bit now in the National League South at the moment. Let's talk about the second team, I should say, in Oxford. And that is Oxford City. They are currently third in National League South, and what a great win today! 4-0 victory.
Win.
Yeah, over Hemel Hempstead.
I love that football name, Hemel Hempstead.
Hemel Hempstead.
Just rolls off the tongue, lovely.
Definitely, yeah, Hemel. You don't want to be saying that after a couple, do you?
No.
Fantastic. In fourth position, we've got Concord Rangers, a 5-2 loss today to Havant and Waterlooville. I do like Havant and Waterlooville. I was wondering, I don't know if you remember.
FA Cup team, aren't they?
I was just about to say that when they, I was fortunate enough to go to Anfield when they played Liverpool, and when they went 2-0 up at Anfield. It was absolutely incredible to be there.
But that was amazing for their fans.
Yeah, unbelievable. But yeah, in recent years, they've again been languishing in the...
Just drifted a bit now, haven't they, really?
Definitely. And it's a massive area for football around there. Obviously, you've got Havant and Waterlooville, you've got Portsmouth and the other teams that are around there. So it's a big footballing area for them. But I'm pretty sure they would have had a decent crowd today with Pompey not playing. Fifth place, we've got Ebbsfleet United, a team that's always there or thereabouts. They had a 3-1 victory over Slough Town. St Albans, you remain in sixth with a 2-0 victory over Braintree Town. And new team back in the playoffs, Hampton and Richmond. Oh, 4-2 victory over Chelmsford City today.
A load of goals in South today.
Yeah, I was just about to say, there's three games there that pretty much took in 25-30 goals just on their own, which is always good. The table wise, like I said, it was Dartford, Maidstone, Oxford, Concord Rangers, Ebbsfleet, St Albans and Hampton and Richmond Borough. Just looking at the teams in the bottom, so only one's being relegated this season from the south, and that's all to do with the reconstruction of the non-league pyramid from step three down. It's your team, AD Hemel Hempstead. They are currently bottom of the league, you like the sound of. We don't want to just stop there this week for non-league, because at step seven, which is step three of non-league, there's four leagues where they get promoted into those north and south. And I just want to quickly touch on those. I don't want to touch on them in too much detail. AD, if you look at our little database that we've got, I've put some links on the side. I'm going to look at the Northern Premier League. So it's on the page. I don't know if you can see it, but it's on the page with the non-league section. On the right-hand side, I'm just going to look at the Northern Premier Division first off. Just waiting for that to come up, people. In terms of this league, so
I can see it now. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's one team that goes up from the Northern Premier League division, and currently, and what a start! Played 13, won 11, lost the two, but wow, 28 goals, 19 plus goal difference on 33 points, and that's Matlock Town. So Matlock Town.
I have a connection to Matlock Town. It's a lovely place to visit, right next door to
Gulliver's.
Chesterfield.
And it's
Gulliver's World. Gulliver's. Yeah,
that's it. And the old lovely cable car. Town. Yeah, it's
especially in the summer. Beautiful.
Yeah. A very nice part of Derbyshire.
But cracking stuff. I know I've actually been past their ground. It's a lovely little ground right in the centre of Matlock.
It is indeed. Yeah. I've never had the privilege, but I've been to Matlock a fair few times. But yeah, it's a nice place. And the team that people have been raving on in this league are South Shields, and they're currently in second position. But I just wanted to quickly touch on these teams while they're here. So that's the Northern Premier League. Then you've got the Southern League Central, which I'm not really too too fond to say, because yeah, my local side, Nuneaton Borough, are in that league. Mm-hmm. And Nuneaton lost today. They lost another game today. They are bottom of the league. And what worries me more is the two teams above them have got two games in hand, which doesn't help. But we're talking about who's doing well, and Peterborough Sports are currently top of that league. Play 10, won 9, only lost the 1, scoring plenty of goals. So in 10 games, they're on a plus 20 goal difference. And they're currently 4 points clear at the top of that table. So yeah, so what's that? Matlock Town, Peterborough Sports so far.
I tell you what, it's just a side point really on that league, that Premier Division Central. It's strange seeing the revamped Rushden and Diamonds in there.
Yes.
I remember them from the
Football League.
A while back,
yeah. Yeah, when they were in the Football League.
And I presume they've been revamped again.
Revamped, yeah, mm-hmm. since then. Neen Park no longer exists. So their little stadium that they had, that was a cracky little stadium that was, and it was purposely mm-hmm. built for them. But yeah, obviously rebuilding again. But yeah, you're right. It's weird to see them in these kind of leagues now, especially when they've had that Football League history.
Yep.
The next one is the Premier Division South. So yeah, if you scroll a little bit further down on that page, you'll see Premier Division South. And currently leading the way there is Hayes and Yedding United on there. So yeah, Hayes and Yedding United lead the way on there. So that's so far. We've got Matlock Town, Peterborough Sports and Hayes and Yedding United that at this moment in time are looking the most likely to join the North or the South, depending on where they're based within the UK. And then last but not least is the Isthmian League Premier Division. And currently is Kingstonian. So yeah, that's a good story to tell. Kingstonian currently top of the table in that league. The reason I only say that is because obviously AFC Wimbledon were ground sharing with them for all those years.
Back in the non-league
when they rebooted. Yeah, and I'm pretty sure, and correct me if I'm wrong, Kingstonian or even Chelsea fans, because I believe Chelsea actually own that stadium and it's used by the women's team. I'm actually looking, and Kingstonian no longer play there. They actually ground share with Corinthian Casuals. That's a bit of a talking point, isn't it?
Kings Meadow was bought by AFC Wimbledon 2 years later after 2001 when Kingstonian went into administration. They allowed Kingstonian to stay. Ground was then purchased by Chelsea FC, and then in 2016 Chelsea FC stipulated that Kingstonian could not remain there. They got thrown out.
That's mad.
By Chelsea.
That is absolutely mental. And Kingstonian played there from 1989. And this is a stadium that was built around that period as well. It was built in 1989 for the purpose of Kingstonian Football Club. Mm. And obviously, money talks, especially
money
in these
talks.
Leagues. Yeah, yeah, definitely. And Chelsea obviously taken over. And then Chelsea Women and Chelsea Under-23s.
Got rid of them. Get out.
Yeah, I don't like that. I really don't. But
not a big fan of that at all.
No, not at all. But Kingstonian is it's a great story because you are currently top of that league. And we really hope that you guys continue. So yeah, so what's that? Matlock Town, Peterborough Sports, Hayes in Yedding United and Kingstonian. Those are the teams that are looking likely at this present moment in time in joining the North or the South to get their dream of obviously getting as close to the Football League as possible. And that touches us nicely on to your local club, which is Worcester City. How do they do today?
Indeed. Unfortunately, Worcester City lost 2-1 today.
2-1 today. I'd ignore the table that is in front of you because it hasn't been updated.
Oh, okay.
Hasn't been updated. But I think you were...
Worcester.
So, was it Tiverdale today?
Yes, it was, yeah. 2-1 defeat, that was. It was at home to Tiverdale, yeah. That's right. Yeah.
So it was a 2-1 loss, 2-1 defeat. Mm-hmm. Just going to see if I can get the table. Yeah, for some reason, that table
hasn't... It's been a very, very choppy season for Worcester. I think I mentioned it. 4-0 win last week at home. Here we go, back on the bounce. And then a 2-1 defeat at home. So you're
now down in eighth.
Yeah, it's a bit very uneven season.
If anything, it was kind of like a rebirth, weren't it? And the great thing, and I think more so than anything else, is that Worcester City are back in Worcester.
Absolutely.
Which is probably a thing. And obviously that rebuild can go on. In terms of the non-league, we just wanted to touch on those just as while we had a chance this week to do so. And in regards to that, that brings an end to non-league football. When we come back, we'll quickly have a look at what's happening in the international scene so far.
So, Dan, the international football scene, how are we looking?
It's looking quite easy, actually. I think this is going to be the quickest segment we've ever done. For those that don't know, I'll come on to those in a moment, but the UEFA Nations League actually started.
Yes, semi-finals, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a semi-final. So, yeah, and people that know, Spain beat Italy and France beat Belgium. So they'll meet in the final on Sunday. So Sunday the 10th
cracking of October.
I'm still trying to remember that we're actually doing this on a Saturday this time round. But yeah, so Italy, Belgium will play that third, fourth place tomorrow at 2 o'clock, I believe. And then Spain and France play in the final. I think that's 8 o'clock. On the Sunday. In terms of the home nations, so the four sides that we've got in the home nations, we had the Rom result last night, which was Czech Republic and Wales. So Czech Republic 2, Wales 2. Today we've had already Scotland doing that last match win over Israel. So Scotland 3, Israel 2.
Great win.
We also mentioned as much as they're not a home nation, we still mention them because they are a part of Ireland. Republic of Ireland did run out 3-0 victors over Azerbaijan. And then we've got two fixtures that are coming up later on tonight, actually kicking off very shortly, actually, while we're recording this. And that's Switzerland and Northern Ireland, and then Andorra are playing England, which it will go ahead. It's quarter two,
It was a live report on Sky Sports News.
It was indeed, yeah. And it was like, fire broke out.
Yeah.
Absolutely mental. But in terms of the...
Did they find out how it started or anything?
No, I've not seen anything else. But England should run out of winners on that one, in my eyes, tonight, Andorra. It should do, yeah. But for the rest of the fixtures for the rest of the week, on Monday, it's Estonia versus Wales. And then on Tuesday, it's Bulgaria, Northern Ireland, Faroe Islands, Scotland. And then England play Hungary for the rest of the week. And in regards to international football... There's nothing really much more to say. I'm just looking at
There's only one thing I'm going to say. Netherlands are facing Gibraltar. I just hope that Gibraltar don't concede more than four.
Well, I think they did themselves proud last night.
Did a good job
yesterday,
actually.
Yeah,
3-0.
3-0 against Montenegro. I think I mentioned at the start, Germany 2, Romania 1. So apologies for those listeners. I will be mentioning Germany because we've got...
we both lived there for a long time as well.
Very long time, Holland 1, Turkey 1, Norway 1, Russia 1, Croatia 1. That's pretty much it in terms of, there's not much more to say on the international front. But I'm looking forward to that game tomorrow, the Spain-France game.
Yeah, so it's like Dan mentioned, it's the third place playoff between Italy and Belgium. It's a 2 o'clock kickoff over here. I believe it's on Sky Sports Football, if you have Sky Sports. Mm-hmm. I think they've shown all the Nations League games,
haven't they?
And then the final at 7:45 could be a good one. Spain-France, they've always had a big history as well. So it could be a good game, that one.
Definitely. I think we've learned our mistake from the last international break where we focused as much as we can and we came away, didn't we, thinking we do love international football, but this is a very difficult talking point in my eyes.
Yeah.
We'd rather focus on what we've done so far, which is obviously the domestic scene and the teams there. And obviously given an opportunity for those non-league clubs to be mentioned.
Absolutely.
As well as what we've done. I think the last thing I just want to quickly mention is Thursday was a great day in the Northeast. New ownership, Mike Ashley's 14-year tenure of Newcastle United has come to an end. We've got the Newcastle United have got the new owners now.
The ownership is 100% takeover. I think it was 80%.
Broken down, isn't it? It's 80%.
PIF,
and then 10% each for...
Reuben Brothers, 10%, and it's PCP, which is Amanda Staveley and her husband, 10% as well. Yeah,
that's correct. Yeah, but we just want to wish the Newcastle United fans, you deserve it. You deserve it, and
there are big money takeover that actually, wake up a sleeping giant and do things properly. That's why I'd love to
see. They do, and I think the message from me is don't be thinking that it's going to be an overnight success. I always look back to when Manchester City got taken over, and
the way they've grown has been very good. It's been steady, hasn't it? Yeah.
I looked at their first signings after the takeover, and it was Roque Santa Cruz and Wayne Bridge
from Blackburn. Blackburn, wasn't it? Rocky Sands.
It was indeed, yeah. And Wayne Bridge, I think, came from Chelsea, didn't they?
Yes, that's it.
But those are the types of signings that you're going to see. And I'm seeing some names so far, and I'm just like, steady as you go.
A name crop up today from Burnley. Tarkowski's one.
And I've also seen Jesse Lingard. And that, to me, is... Yeah, and Jesse Lingard, yeah.
I think that's not a bad names to look at to start
those
with.
Those sign-ins for me are what you should be doing.
Yeah.
It's not about going out, and I understand, I think I've read it was 190 million. Now, remember, Newcastle United fans, that isn't 190 million pounds to spend. That's 190 million pounds, including the transfer, including the wages and all that sort of jazz. So just remember that. But yeah, Tarkowski and Jesse Lingard, they'd be really good starts. I've also seen Ivan Toney's name.
Oh, to come back to Newcastle. Okay.
Yeah. So I think these are good names. And the interesting thing, and I joke because it's probably the 132nd manager that I've seen link so far, is Graham Potter.
Really? Has he been linked quite recently, has he?
He's been linked. I've seen his name today. Apparently Eddie Howe's a no-go. I think by the sounds of it, Eddie Howe's waiting on the Southampton job.
Yeah. The thing is, I get a bit of a feeling with him, they'd rather stick down south, to be honest.
We've said that multiple times, haven't we? Newcastle is north. Yeah, Graham Potter's a good shout.
But again, would he want to leave Brighton?
Would he want to? That's the thing, isn't it? We're massive West Bromwich Albion fans, and
yeah.
We hope one day that maybe we can get rid of our current ownership.
I'd love to be able to feel something more from the club.
Yeah, just simply because, and I think we had it for so long with under Jeremy Peace, and Jeremy Peace, we always say thank you simply because of what the club did achieve at the time. Mm-hmm. But we all thought the same when we got this Chinese ownership. We've got a Chinese owner that does have money, however, he doesn't want to invest, which is fair enough, but
this is the thing. Like when he took over, what was it, 2016, wasn't it? He made his intentions clear. He was buying scarves for the fans. He was, you know, on away trips and stuff. And then all of a sudden, he literally disappeared.
Yeah, unfortunately, and I've seen a couple of our fans on social media say he just wants the Premier League money.
That's absolutely. He's a classic. I'm going to say this as well. That's pretty much what Mike Ashley was doing at Newcastle.
Getting the
money in, promoting Sports Direct with all the, you know, all the signage around the ground and that. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much all he was bothered about, really. He didn't even state it. He wasn't there to win trophies and stuff. So, there we are.
Perfect stuff. Fantastic.
Yeah, that's it. that's it on that.
That's it. Yeah, that's it. But other than that, from me for this week, we will be back to Sunday. Yeah, we'll go back to Sunday next week.
Yeah,
absolutely. Just because there'll be a full roundup of everything. But from me this week, thanks very much again for listening. Wherever you can, AD's going to say it now, but wherever you can, we've seen a lot of people interacting with us on social media, which is fantastic. And yeah, actually talking about social media, just talking back to the Newcastle United things, the most common thing that I've seen that Newcastle United fans want is brand new manager.
And that's going to be the first thing on their thoughts.
That's
definitely
the first thing. And that came up quite often. But the second thing actually was not even players. It was to improve the training facilities because they are described like League One and League Two training facilities.
Yeah, I actually do recall there was a time at the training ground, you know, when you have like your ice bath sessions.
Yeah.
For example, they were using wheelie bins.
Yeah, correct.
And filling them with ice. That's not Premier League standard. No offense to other clubs like lower league teams.
No, definitely not.
They should be really helping their players a lot more there.
And I think, my response to it was, you know what, there's two good things. Manager, yes. Training facilities, yes. And you've only got to look at like Leicester City and Brighton that have improved their facilities recently. Liverpool, obviously, they moved from Malwood to their new AXA training centre as well. So it is a good thing to invest
in. Another thing that I've seen from Newcastle fans, they really, really want to see ex-players and managers like Alan Shearer, Kevin Keegan. They want to be ambassadorial roles. Yeah,
yeah, he's going to be ambassador.
They want to reconnect them as well after the Ashley era. So.
Which is a good thing. But yeah, going back to the social media things, we've seen a lot of interactions. We've seen a lot of people coming to us and chatting to us and thing. But what we need from you is, if where possible, is if you can just drop us a follow as well. drop us a follow on there, whether that's on Twitter, whether that's on Facebook. And the same applies to those that do listen to on YouTube. And we're getting a lot of people visit us on our YouTube channel, but again, we're just not seeing people subscribe. And for us to grow and things like that, it would be great if you could subscribe.
The main thing as well, it's not obviously for us to grow, which would be great to see. More followers is fantastic to see. However, it means that you get to see what we share straight away on social media.
Exactly, yeah. And then we want you to interact with us. Yeah, we want you to interact with us. But yeah, for me, that's everything for me. And I'll speak to you all next week.
Absolutely. Cheers, Dan. Thank you very much. So yeah, guys, like Dan mentioned with the social media, you know, give us some follows, some likes and stuff. We're not going to beg for them. We're not that kind of thing at all. But it means there will be a bit of growth for us and you can keep up to date with everything we have to share. So, on Twitter, it's twitter.com/ATF on Anchor if you wish to follow us on there. We're on Facebook as well, which is facebook.com/AllThingsFootballPodcast. And you can find us quite easily if you search All Things Football Podcast on YouTube. Lovely to speak to you all this week. Have a good week ahead. Thank you very much. Bye bye.